热了吧？我
Boss big mind and individual mind, Maya creates pressures. You remember? To hear me? Sometime back, I spoke to you regarding cosmic mind.And individual mind, Maya, pressures. You remember? You don't. The purpose of that talk was that all our actions, all our thinking is guided by cosmic mind.Through individual mind affecting our brain, body, system. In other words, I meant to say that what cosmic mind and individual mind would do would beto force us to live in a particular manner. And we are helpless and cannot do anything about it. Do you remember or you don't? Nobody goes home and does any homework.Anyway, we are here, therefore, to ultimately clarify our mind as to how much we are able and how much we are not able. Aikla? Most of the Shastras use a very funny word, often repeated by me also, the word Maya. Hear me? Can you hear me? And all the philosophy is, I should say,covered over by this word Maya, when they cannot explain the reality. My purpose in life is to confuse as many people as possible, and therefore, today I will confuse you further. Understand?Because over a period of time, I must confuse you so much that either you leave me or you ask me 100 questions and thereby clarify your mind. Understand my purpose? It's not a decent purpose, isn't it? So today, I would like to take a somersault and say something completely different.Don't get annoyed with me for that, because that is my way of teaching. How many of you have read Khalil Gibran? That man writes, half of what I say is meaningless. Half of what I say is meaningless. But I say it so that the other half can reach you.I may be 3/4, but I think that is the best way to learn. So today we shall start. traverse along those parallel lines that we are, as human beings, quite helpless. We shall therefore sing the same old song, that we as human beings are quite helpless. Then we'll see what other song we can sing. Shall we begin? On reading the notes of earlier meetings, some of you may have in your mind the misunderstanding that the purpose of individual mind and of the cosmic mind is to create mind, maya, creative pressures, so that what is experienced by the outgoing senses and brain is false. And so, under the pressure of maya, we enjoy these objects. So it is customary to say, or it is customary to ask one to turn inward and realize the truth, the reality, as if truth or reality does not exist external to ourselves. Something complicated and of this nature is more or less understood or misunderstood at all levels. Some of us philosophize, some of us do not. Some assume a spiritual posture, some do not. So what is correct? There can be only two aspects to consider: Dvaita, or the natural changes constantly taking place around us, and two, Advaita, the fact of total unity in spite of all the apparent changes taking place and commonly attributed to maya. But Brahma, that is the eternal principle, possesses a nature of its own. Brahma has created and evolved the universes and human beings. And the universe and the human beings are moving from one level or stage to another level or stage, some may say from lower to higher. What this movement has become possible for the universes as well as the human beings, because behind each and every stage, the eternal principle, Brahma, is present and actively present. But those who have realized this truth, that underlining eternal principle, Brahma, is untouched and unaffected by the evolving multiplicity of changes, do not regard these, please change, check off one of these, twice these, do not regard these changes as something separate, apart and independent of and from Brahma, of the eternal principle, and do not look upon these changes taking place continuously, that is, the arising and passing away of all things, as so many independent and self-sufficient things complete in themselves, not even the total universe itself. So, there is no reason to reject the manifested changes or the manifested changing universe and or our world. So there is no conflict or doubt between Dvait and Advait aspects. The falsity only comes in if you regard the nature of the underlying cause, the eternal Brahman, as actually lost or converted in these effects emerging from it, as if it has become something other than itself, as if the underlying Brahman, the eternal principle, has actually converted itself into the various external changes. It is only under the influence of avidya and not under the influence of maya, which actually does not exist, we forget the reality of the underlying changes, as if the causal reality has become something other than its own nature. Until this is completely realized, and the end means the purpose, until this is completely realized, the end, that is the purpose, no future must be held to be present in the nature of the cause, that is the past. One cannot deny the striving towards the future end, that is purpose. So it is necessary for the end to realize completely that it has to pass through certain modifications and transformations or stages, but the future end, E-N-D, end, is present throughout the successive changes and stages, and it resided in the past, the cause. If you say the future is unreal, then the cause, that is Brahma, is also unreal. That is, world itself becomes unreal. The future therefore operates in the present. This power which underlies, that is the eternal principle, works in all the changes and gives continuity to everything and is above them all. So, no effect can be treated as something distinct and separate from the underlying cause. It is the same law that works for the universe as it works for a human being. At all stages, that we speak of sanskara, the definition being, this is the definition of the sastras, the latent self-reproductive impressions of the past, acts of dharma and adharma manifesting itself at the commencement of the present birth. That is the definition as per the sastras regarding sanskara. Now, what is sanskara, as we put it? Every man is born with a psychological disposition. In this disposition are to be found embedded all his natural instincts and habits, his love and hatred, his pleasure and pain, his appetites and passions, and his entire stock of impulses and desires. According to us, this is sanskara. He is a receptacle, that is a vessel, of all the race experiences also, together with his past impressions lying deep within him in a latent form, ready to rise up to the surface at the slightest notice, and this forms his memory, past and present. This is the individual's nature, and this determines the individual and his actions. It is owing to this disposition that the person has likes and dislikes for certain sense organs, and so from early childhood, betraying natural attachment and enjoyment of objects, whilst some develop natural aversion to such objects. These detailed statements, as we have described earlier, as a person's structure with a spectrum of minimum and maximum, and the individual cannot act beyond this limit in either direction. Can this psychological disposition change? I repeat, can this psychological disposition change? In other words, can the structure change? Left to itself, in its natural course, it will change by a fraction of a centimeter in about 100,000 years. But by some purposeful, conscious and methodical efforts, it would change rapidly. This conscious change by conscious efforts is yoga abhyasa, and the practical aspect of this abhyasa is Yoga Sutra of Sage Patanjali. What have the sastras to say on this subject? Nature. Sanskar is the tendency in living beings acquired by them in past births, ready to yield its effects. And this nature is the source of the gunas, qualities, it being impossible for gunas to manifest themselves without a cause. When desire arises, it rouses rajas guna and urges a person to act. This is the undisciplined animal nature in man. Thus a person is born with the fund of animal impulses and inclinations, which are the source of his tendencies to activities. One is born subject to desires, love, hatred, etc., which color his nature. So man at the beginning is no better than an animal. He is yet not a self-conscious being. He is simply aware of certain feelings aroused in him in consequence of his contact with the outside world and of some impulses within him, that is memory, naturally rising and demanding their satisfaction, moving him towards or repelling him from, as the case may be, and this will happen even when he is reciting a japa or sitting in meditation. These impulsive movements are always accompanied by pleasure or pain. In fulfilling these impulses, he fulfills his entire life's purpose. A person is completely at the mercy of such impulses. This is the self. The actions involving movements of the body, sense organs, brain are necessarily mechanical, determined by and are the resultant of the earlier life actions. None of these present life actions can therefore be classed as free, even though it may appear that we have acted under our full awareness, that is free will. In such a life it is evident that there is no purpose, no end, no aim, and no regulation. A person drifts without a compass or an anchor. Living under such a cloud, we cannot know what is right and so cannot choose the right path. Therefore, the sastras come to conclusion. What do they say? And it needs no saying that to such a man whose intellect is thus overpowered by passions of desire and aversion, there cannot arise a knowledge of the innermost self. Any amount of reading and or hearing does not help. This is the long said song that we are singing. All we are trying to say is that we are bound by a structure. Just as wood has to be wood and cotton has to be cotton, according to our structure we are what we are, and whatever we may try we cannot change. Even if you attend such meetings or such other meetings, you will do exactly as your structure will demand. Well, to a large extent, it is true. To a large extent, it is true. I say to a large extent. I don't say it is true. There is a difference. To a large extent, it is true. It is not true under certain circumstances. Can we bring about those circumstances under which it is not true? Correct? What are these circumstances? What are these circumstances under which this mighty law fails? The law that has, by and large, hypnotized human beings, the law of karma, as they say, that you cannot do anything what you have earned and nothing beyond. The sastras say a lot more things. The first question the sastra asks, and it's a beautiful question that the sastra is putting to us all, that all that you have narrated here, page after page after page, does that concern the whole man? Does that concern man as a whole, the whole man, the complete man? Or are you talking about some part of man? The first, therefore, the important question arises is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a part of a man, or we are talking about the whole man? If we are talking about the whole man, it is all nonsense. So, we proceed with the question the sastras ask. But the sastras ask thus, but is this the whole man? is man's environment and his impulses within. The sole determinant is there no other nature higher in man than this animal nature? Is there no inner unity underlining these manifold impulses and instinct which is or can be the true source of his actions? Further, the sastras ask, what a man speaks and acts is not the whole man. It is wrong to identify man with all these. All these is not equivalent to what man is in his essence. All these is not equivalent to what man is in his essence. What he feels, thinks, and does falls infinitely short of what is possible. He is not the sum total of his feelings, impulses, habits gathered in the past. His divine essence is revealed and is always present within him. Infinite knowledge and power lies concealed in man behind the outer mask that is man. This divine essence is Atma, the divine fragment that he is in fact, but is in man only, individual. If he desires to gain the supreme and by methodical means and knowledge, he can progress on the path. Here, Yoga Sutra are of immense help to him. This is his choice and his birthright. I repeat again. This is his choice and his birthright. But rather he would exercise. This is his choice and his birthright. But whether he would exercise. You see, in England, after the Tudor period came the Stuart period of Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, came the Stuart period of James I, Charles I, James II, Charles II. James II and Charles II were brothers. One was very able, the other was a total monarch. So the people used to say, Charles could if he would, and James would if he could. So the same thing applies to us in this also. But in this connection it is found that in case of some people, it is a matter of he could if he would. And never mix up his mind. And in other cases, it is he would, if he could, and so is never possible. That is why we are all where we are. We are a bundle of very stupid contents. We are, in essence, part of God. We live very stupidly. It is possible for us to be gods on earth. The whole trouble is we could if we would, or we would if we could. And because of such a situation, we ourselves block our own progress. It is not your structure that is standing in your way. It is not your past that is standing in your way. If you don't want to take your future in hand, karma will take your future in hand. If you want to take your future in hand, karma will step aside, not blocking your way. On the path, God has made this possible. If you don't want to walk on the path, then let karma guide you. It is up to you whether you will exercise your choice, whether you will exercise your birthright. Okay, we'll go further. Because of this possibility and this choice, I read again, because of this possibility and his choice, man is held responsible for his thoughts and actions. Because in case of all other life creatures, it is not possible to do otherwise than what is dictated by its nature. If a cobra wants to be on the path, unfortunately he cannot. All other life would follow their nature. A cobra will sting you even if you feed it with milk. It is its nature. Only for man it is possible. Only for man it is possible. And that is why man is responsible for his future, for his actions, for his thoughts, for his desire. An infinite possibility for good or evil is always present only in man. There is no devil. There is no devil. And there are no angels. Man is himself the devil. Men are all angels. When I say men, of course, I include the women. They should not feel left out. So, we are the devils and we are the angels. Nothing outside of us we can claim as devil or angels. Your choice, your birthright, whether you will exercise. With all these outer movements and activities, what all the outer movements and activities are for, if not generally coordinated in the movements and activities within. This is very important. What is the earthly meaning of all the activities, all our movements on the outer surface? If they are not coordinated to our movements, to our activities within. There is no coordination. Why is there no coordination between our activities that is outside of us and the activities within us? As I told you earlier, there is no communication. There is no communication. And that possibility of communication, I have already given you in the nature of prism, exercises. Prism is in the temple. You are here the exercise is never taking place and communication remaining stagnant. Most of you have got the upgrading of awareness exercises. Most of you have got the prism, but the two don't come together. The prism remains prism, the exercises remain exercises, and you remain you. That's the problem. So there is no communication. And you know, even in the normal world, when there is a gap in communication, what happens? You know it. How much more important is communication within you? And when your outer activities, your outer movements are not coordinated with your inner activities and inner movements, it is because there is no communication. You speak in Hindi, you understand in French. That is the gap. I would say the gap is even larger than this. Because the part of your mind, your brain, that speaks, and the part of your brain that hears, has no communication. Most of you sitting here, the brains may be somewhere else. I may go on barking, barking, barking. Your minds and your brains may be somewhere else. There is no communication even between you and me. Just now here, even, there is no communication between you and me. I speak, that does not mean you hear. You see, that does not mean you look. So in every possible manner there is no communication. And in absence of communication you can only create confusion. And I am adding more and more vedan to that confusion. I don't know whom to blame, you or myself. We are doing the last prayer, no? What all the outer movements and activities are for, if not generally coordinated to the movements and activities within. Other than these activities and movements, I repeat again, other than these activities and movements is the divine fragment within. And with the help of this divine fragment, we can make our outer movements and activities meaningful. But it all calls for communication. Unfortunately, the word is also so long, communication. So what use do these aspirations, efforts and actions go on? Their value do not lie in that they may exist alongside Atma or divine fragment. But what use does Atma bring about? All these activities of the organism have their value only in the fact that they may be used by the rational eye, that they may be utilized for his end and purpose. that they may prove useful to him. Outside all these, otherwise all these actions and movements will entirely lose their value. There is a divine fragment within. Other than these movements and activities, here we quote in relation to these thoughts from Yoga Sutra, Book 3, Sutra 18. Now, please remember, pardon, Book 2, sorry. Book 2, Sutra 18. Please go home and read again and again this sutra. It says, that which is experience has three qualities, meaning activities and movements. I repeat, that which is experience has three qualities. It consists of the elements and the sense organs. The use of, now listen properly. The use of these produce experience and also eventual liberation. What does it say? That which is experience has three qualities. It consists of the elements and the sense organs, meaning all of our activities and movements, whether outer or inner. The use of these activities, whether outer or inner, produces experience. That means gathers karma and also eventual liberation. So what is missing here? I read again if you want. The last line. The use of these produce experience, that is karma, and also eventual liberation. What is missing is communication. Your son or your daughter is away, you don't receive a letter for a month, and you are worried. You have lived on this earth for God knows how many million, billion years. You have not written a single letter to your divine fragment. The divine fragment is worried.
Easy.
It looks you are not, at least. You see? This is the whole trouble. We may be born, we may be dead, we may be 60, 70 years old, we may be young. We have never cared to establish communities. We'll read further. There's something missing still. Suppose no Atma or divine fragment is individually present behind these activities, then only these activities are working. But there is no purpose to regulate them. An absurd consequence will follow. Nobody is present whose purpose they serve. Nobody is present whose purpose they serve. All your activities, all your movements, whether inner or outer, there is nobody whose purpose they serve. Because if there is no communication, there is nobody. You can say 1,000 times there is Atma within me. But if there is no communication, there is nobody. For whose purpose all these activities, inner or outer, is taking place. Still there is something missing. The world with all its changing elements is moving for a realization of the final end, the final purpose. Now the trouble comes. Now, when we read further, we encounter the real trouble. But when I decide to take the first step on the path, or whenever I decide to do this or that, who is or what is behind the decision? You understand this?
Yes.
But when I decide to make the first step, or take the first step on the path, or whenever I decide to do this or that, who is or what is behind the decision? The human organization, the human organism, that is the body, brain, mind system, or the divine life? Whenever the I is self with a small f, with a small s, or whenever the I is self with a capital S, makes the difference in our decisions, but as stated earlier, it all calls for communication. Now our edit is half a line at many different levels. It is not communication at one level, it is communication at many levels. You understand? When the self decides to take a step, or when the divine fragment wants to take a step, there is no coordination. And if there is no coordination, all steps are false. I want to be good, but the I is not linked to the self, capital S. And so correct steps or decision cannot be taken in the absence of communication. I want to be good. But the I is not linked to this self, capital S. And so, correct step or decision cannot be taken in absence of communication. And so, the false I, that means the small self, takes the false step. Do you understand?